Markets just had another sort of volatile day. It looked like at one stage it was going to be another real bloodbath because the Asian markets had very sharp falls overnight on Sunday night, Monday morning. And there was a fear, I think, of a really big widespread panic with sort of ripple effect from first from Asia to Europe and then to onto the US. And the London market yesterday was down about 4% at one point. But then Wall Street seemed to regain its nerve a bit. It looked for a while as though Wall Street, the Dow Jones and Wall Street might open 300 points lower. But I think gradually people thought, well, it's a bit absurd this because actually we're reacting to what happened in the Far East, which in turn was reacting to what was happening in Europe and America on Friday afternoon. And this is sort of, you know, if you carried on with that for 2 or 3 weeks, you'd end up with share prices worth absolutely zero. So I think people sort of realised there wasn't any real news out in the US or in Europe particularly. And as the day wore on, I think it was the ship steadied a bit.
Did the prospect of a further interest rate cut by the US Federal Reserve and possibly other central banks in the near future steady the nerves of the markets?
I think it did a bit. I mean, I think people expect the US to cut rates later this week. I mean, they have cut them very, very aggressively and they haven't got that much further to go. But I think we're expecting another half point off US rates this week. There's also a very strong hint from Jean-Claude Trichet, the president of the European Central Bank, that the ECB will cut rates next week. He said it didn't actually signify anything, but even the fact that he said there was a possibility of it means it's pretty much a dead cert that the ECB will cut rates. And then there is the anticipation also that the Bank of England on the same day will cut rates very aggressively in the UK. I mean, a half point cut is very much in the market, and there are people talking about a full percentage point cut, which would take them down to 3.5%. That would be obviously the biggest cut there's been by the Bank of England since it was given independence.
What's going on the money markets? Because there's been steep falls in the value of sterling. Meanwhile, the yen is soaring.
Yes, I mean, sterling. There is some action in sterling still. Sterling was at one point down about 5 cents against the dollar yesterday. And in fact, if you go back to the last time we really had a big sterling crisis in this country, which was in 1992 when we left the ERM, the fall in sterling last week against the dollar was even sharper than it was in the week after we came out of the ERM. And we've seen pretty much the same sort of fall now against the dollar that we saw in 1992, like 50 cents off the value of sterling against the dollar. It's come down from about 201 3 months ago to 152 at its bottom. So there's been a big run on sterling because I think people are quite nervous about the UK for a couple of reasons. One is the economy looks very poor. And secondly, it was reliant very heavily on inflows of foreign capital into the London market. And a lot of those flows have been reversed in the same way as they have in other countries to an even greater extent. Countries like Iceland, we're seeing it. Countries like Hungary, we've been seeing it. But the UK is being affected by the same sort of capital flows. Hot money came flowing in and hot money is now coming out of the UK, and that's pushing down the level of sterling. The Japanese are very worried about the level of the yen, which has been rising on the foreign currency markets. And there was quite unusually a statement by the G7 yesterday saying that they were concerned about the overvaluation of the yen, but it doesn't seem to be any willingness to back that up with coordinated action. I mean, normally when central banks show concern, they back it up by selling yen into the market and trying to drive down its value. I don't think there's any real sense of that sort of cooperation amongst the G7, partly because the Europeans are quite happy that the yen is high because it means that, you know, Japanese exports into Europe are much more expensive. So I don't think the Europeans particularly want to see the yen come down in value. They're quite happy to sign up to a communique, but they're not prepared to actually put their money where their mouth is.
Part of the UK government's response to the downturn is to increase borrowing and public spending. What effect will that have?
Well, I think it really depends on two things. It depends on, one, whether it's matched by an easing of monetary policy. I mean, and secondly, it depends on whether the money is well spent and is targeted on good long-term projects that would be done anyway. If it's just good money thrown after bad into a black hole, then obviously it won't do very much good. The wider point, though, really, is that loosening fiscal policy, as it's called, raising public spending or cutting taxes only tends to work if it goes with the grain of what's happening to interest rates. So if the Bank of England doesn't cut interest rates quickly enough and the economy slides into a massive recession, which is a very real and an imminent danger for the UK, then all you do by actually spending this money is you end up with still a very, very deep recession and a very large amounts of public sector debt, which is what happened to Japan in the early 1990s. They responded far too late with cuts in interest rates, and they just carried on with more and more packages of public spending, and they ended up with, you know, huge amounts of public sector debt on which they're still paying large amounts of interest. So that's the danger with it.